Good morning. How can I be sure that God loves me? Or can I be sure that God loves me? Yes. So that was easy sermon for me.
Where am I? On TV. She's nice. Who is she?
Your girlfriend.
Does she love me?
Oh, worships you.
What's she eating? Rolo. My favourite.
It's my last one.
Oh.
But you can have it anyway.
Do you love anyone enough to give them your last Rolo? Soft, creamy toffee in a milk chocolate cup.
Quick, draw a bunch of flowers.
If you're old enough, you remember that one. Have you noticed, well, as we've been going through 1 John, that John loves to write about love? In fact, the word love appears in a quarter of the verses in this letter to 1 John. He uses the word love. But what exactly is love? Is it giving someone your last Rolo? Yeah. Is it, I don't know, what is it? What makes you feel loved? Maybe when you meet your cousin for after the one, he gives you a hug. Does that make you feel loved? Or maybe someone gives you a phone call, a friend rings you up and says, oh, I just want to have a chat. Do you feel loved? Yeah. Or maybe when you realise that somebody is attracted to you and that this might be going somewhere, does that make you feel loved? All of those things are love, aren't they? But don't you think it's a bit strange that, well, I could say I love Rolos. Don't you think it's strange that we use the same word to mean all those different things that have got a huge different range of feelings for us, haven't they? We use that same word for love of family, for love of friends, if we're romantically involved with someone, if we like something to eat. But the word that John is using every one of those 35 times in this letter that we've been reading through means something a little bit different. Does anybody recognise these people in this picture here? Have you seen this picture before? Brownlee. Yeah, the Brownlee brothers. Yeah, so they were triathletes for Great Britain, but they're slightly past their peak now. Two brothers who won great acclaim running for us. And I wonder if any of you remember this particular race, which happened 9 years ago. It was part of the 2016 World Triathlon Series, and this is what happened. Alistair Brownlee, the one on the left, he had just swum 1.5 kilometres. He had cycled 40 kilometres. I know why, but hey, that's what they do. And he'd run most of the way through 2 kilometres. And the whole time, he's an elite athlete, the whole time, what's on his mind that whole time, I'm going to get gold. I've got to be first. I've got to get gold. But after all that effort, at the point we join them in the video, he's second. His brother's first. Now, we love our brothers, don't we? And then as he turns the corner, he realises here is an opportunity to get gold because his brother has suddenly faded. He's starting to wobble. So what does he do? Yes! Does he speed forward and get that gold that had been on his mind and heart all the way through? No, he doesn't. He turns aside. He lets the person who was behind him run past him. And he runs over to his brother and he picks his brother up and he carries him towards the line. And when he gets to the line, he pushes him over before him. So his brother's going to get silver. Someone's already got gold and he gets bronze. Was that love? Do you even care who got gold? Do you think anybody remembers who got gold in that race? Alistair Brownlee has got 2 gold Olympic medals and numerous awards from this type of race. But he said in a recent interview, you know, it's crazy. Helping Johnny in that race is the one thing that I get asked about the most, not his gold medals. Everyone in the world admires this kind of love, don't they? Do you admire that? Everyone. That is the kind of love that John is talking about It's the word that he uses means this kind of love, the love that cares more about the other person than yourself. I'm going to read that passage now. So every time you see that word love, remember. Sorry.
I don't know, I'm not doing very well with these today.
So it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. If you've got your Bibles, please do open them to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So what is love? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You know, God was the one that created the world. He created all of these wonderful things that we see. He created humans as well. And amazingly, he saw that they were good. He says that. He saw that they were good. He looked at us and said, "That's good." And he loved us. And he gave us freedom to make decisions and to choose. And he gave us power to create things. He was a perfect father. He was perfect. He gave us guidance about how to live. He encouraged us to come and talk to him. Oh, come and get help from me. Come and talk to me. I love you. I love spending time with you. But mankind decided not to do that. Mankind decided they knew better. It's better to get what you can for yourself. It's better to protect what you've got. I don't want to listen to God because he might tell me something I don't like. We behave selfishly, even when that meant that other people got hurt or other people went behind. Other people didn't have what they needed. And the world became a harsh and painful place, moving further and further away from God and what he had planned in the first place. In fact, so far away that we sort of totally lost the understanding of how to get back now. The world's in a mess, isn't it? Do you feel like that? Do you feel like the world's in a mess? That's not just the world. It's us in our individual lives as well, isn't it? We get in a mess and we can't work out how to get back. We've all moved away from God. We've all lost that lovely, loving relationship with God that he wanted us to have. And this is nothing new. It's been going on a long time. Way back in Isaiah said this. Sorry, that's the heading for that point. All we like sheep have gone astray. It goes on to say, we've turned everyone to our own way. We're kind of stranded. We're like these sheep. What are they going to do? How are they going to get out of that lake? They've hardly got room to move. They're stuck and there's nothing that they can do to get themselves away from it. And we, a bit like that, we're trapped in our own self-centeredness, in our own poor decisions that we've made in the past that have resulted in things happening in our lives that we're not happy with. And it's not that we don't know that love is right, because we do, because everybody loves what Alistair Brownlee did. And whenever we see that kind of love, we love that. But we can't seem to stick to it in ourselves. We can't seem to stop protecting ourselves and can't quite trust that acting in love is the best way to live. We'll worry about our rights and our wants. And because we have done that, we're not leading that joyful and abundant life that God planned for us right at the beginning there. Things feel hard. Feels like God isn't interested. And when we were singing that, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me, I wonder if you were thinking, oh yeah, how come I'm in this mess now then? But you know what? It's us that walked away from God, not God that walked away from us. We're in this mess not because he said, well, I don't care, I'm finished with you lot. It's because we walked away. But when Isaiah said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me, this is what God replied. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. God hasn't changed his mind. He still loves us despite our behavior. We'd lost our way, so he made a rescue plan. He sent his one and only son. Jesus was the creator of the universe, the ruler, the most powerful. Yet he gave it up. He came to this world and he became a man. All for love, me and you. And he became a nobody. He didn't become a ruler, a king, a prime minister, archbishop. He didn't do that. He became a carpenter, homeless preacher. All for love of me and you. And then even that poor life, he gave up. And he died as a criminal. He embarrassed his friends who ran away. He hadn't done anything wrong. He did it for love of me and you. He gave up his status. He was perfect. He did have that perfect relationship with the Father. But he gave it up because he took my sin, the thing that was blocking me from the Father, on himself. He took responsibility. He said, let me carry you across the finish line. All for love of me and you. And you know, God loved us when he created us. And then he sent Jesus to rescue us. And he didn't wait till we went, okay, please come and help us. We're really sorry. We really know we've done wrong. Come and rescue us. No, he did that. He sent out the rescue party before we called out. Before we said sorry, before we repented, he took the initiative in love. Despite our behavior, he took a death penalty for us. All for love. Can I be sure God loves me? Can you think of any other piece of evidence that could be given that would be greater than that evidence? He sent his son into the world that we might live through him. But you know what? Imagine, we go back to that video at the beginning, when Alistair Brownlee ran over to his brother said, oh, no, I'm fine. You just go ahead. You go ahead. You finish the race. You go ahead. I haven't got a problem here. If he refused to admit that there was an issue, there was a problem. Or if he'd said, no, I can sort this one out for myself, thank you. I don't need my big brother coming, telling me what to do. I can do this myself. Or he'd said, oh, no, thank you. I know there's a catch here. I can't really believe that you want to help me. He hadn't trusted his brother. See, when love is offered, it's got to be received, hasn't it? He could have refused. It wouldn't have meant that Alistair didn't love him. But somehow that love wouldn't have been completed if Johnny hadn't accepted it. But he did accept it. And it brought joy to both of them, the one that gave and the one that received. And even though the gold medal was lost, it didn't matter. So you see, it's the same with us. We can refuse the love that God is offering to us. For whatever reason, because we don't think there's a problem. Because we think we can solve any problem by ourselves. Because we can't quite trust that God means it. Or we can accept it. And we can receive all that there is to give, and our joy can be made full, and God's joy can be made full. It can be made complete, that love. And God gave his life so that all the bad things I've done could be removed from me, and I could be in a relationship with God, out free from the trap of my sin, having eternal life. I can live through him. Not because I did loads of good things in my life, I didn't. But because he wants the very best for me, and because he loves me. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Maybe that you have received God's love, maybe that you haven't. It's not difficult. Just a case of recognizing your problem and being prepared to accept the love that God offers. And if you're ready for that, just ask anyone here that you know loves God. If you don't feel ready to talk to somebody, you still like to know more, try praying on your own. Try reading the Bible. Try listening to a Bible app. Come and ask us about Alpha. So God's love is made complete when we love one another. As we understand that love that has our names carved on the palm of his hands, that knows the number of hairs on our head, that calls us beloved, that says, Neil, I love you. Liz, I love you. Pat, I love you. Then something inside of us changes. When Kevin and I were first married, we didn't have much money. That's usually the case, isn't it, for young marrieds? But he had set his heart on this squeeze box, this musical thing that was in the window of the music shop where we lived. That was expensive. I secretly saved pennies here and there so that when his birthday came, I could buy him this squeeze box. Right. Still got it. Our grandchildren love it. I didn't begrudge that money. It was a joy. It wasn't a duty. I wanted to do it. I wanted to make him happy. And you know, when we receive God's love into our heart, that's the change that he makes in us. It's not that he says, now you've got to love because that's my rules. It's not like that. You want to. We don't have to grit our teeth and go, right, I'm just going to do this now because I want to love God. He changes us. It's not because we have to do it to get him to love us back, because he already loved us before we even did anything. We don't have to worry about that. It's something that we find that we want to do. I mean, I love that idea, don't you, of being so wonderfully loving to God and to everyone else. But back in the real world, loving people is rather harder. I was identified with this Snoopy cartoon. I love mankind. People I can't stand. People get in the way of us being so beautifully loving, don't they? We don't love perfectly. I certainly don't. I certainly know that I am a work in progress. I fail to love many times a day, Kevin will tell you. So often our old nature rises to the surface and we respond to a situation with irritation or impatience or selfishness. I so often have to remind myself, am I supposed to love here? I so often have to go, I'm so sorry, Lord, that was just not loving. Please forgive me. And give me the power to love. But do you know what? What is totally amazing? So I've been a Christian for 52 years now, so I've got a lot of time to look back on my failures. But do you know what? What's a miracle is the more we open our hearts to God's love, the more God's love becomes part of what we are. Not something that we have to think, oh, I must remember to do that, but part of our automatic reaction to things. our natural response to situations. That's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle, but it's true. He changes us to become more like Jesus. That must mean that God's real, because I've seen it. Verse 12 tells us, no one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us individually, and he lives in us, the church. He lives in us here at Unity if we love one another. And his love is made complete in us. God's invisible. No one's ever seen him. When we love one another, God's presence becomes real and active among us. Do you know what? People come in who don't know God, and astonishingly, they'll recognize God's presence if we love one another. God's love achieves its purpose when we love one another. God's love's like a cycle. It comes down from heaven to us. We experience it when we receive it. And it's made complete when we love one another. It flows through us to others. So God's love is shown in Jesus, is experienced by receiving it. It's made complete when we love. How are you feeling? God loves you. That's for sure. If you haven't experienced it yet, don't wait. He's waiting for you to come. Ask someone to help you pray. Or maybe you've experienced God's love, but feel like you've lost your way a little bit. I've been there many times. It doesn't matter. Come back. Don't delay. He's waiting for you with open arms. Come back. Ask forgiveness. He will forgive you because Jesus has died for us. He'll wash away anything wrong. Or maybe you've experienced God's love, you're experiencing it at the moment. You'd like to see God's love made complete in us here in Unity. Well, go back home, read through this chapter again, ask God to pour his love into your heart by his Holy Spirit, because it's by his Holy Spirit that he gives us that ability to love others. And be prepared to radically love. Don't delay. No one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Shall we just pray? Lord, what can we say? We are overwhelmed. We can hardly believe that you could love us. And yet you do. Thank you. Thank you for giving us your son. Thank you for wanting to be with us and spend time with us. Thank you for being prepared to pay the price. Complete your love in us here in Unity, we pray, Lord. Show us the next step. And give us the power to love each other by the Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.